Welcome back to the LifePoint Drivecast. My name is Matthew, and I serve as the teaching pastor for our Westerville campus. And this past Sunday, we began a new teaching series called Free, where we're looking at what it means to live a life of open-handed generosity. And the big idea for our series is that people freed by grace are marked by generosity. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9, Paul addresses the issue of forgotten generosity. You see, the Jewish Christians in Jerusalem had fallen into poverty because of a severe famine that was going on in the land. And so Paul was raising money from the Gentile churches he had started to help support the church back in Jerusalem. And his hope was that these churches would send a gift or an offering as a sign of their love and unity with their Jewish brothers and sisters. And Paul starts by saying this in verse 1 of chapter 8. He says, "And now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace God has given the Macedonian churches." And so before Paul begins to address the giving and the generosity of the church in Corinth, he points them to the churches in Macedonia. These were believers who were living in cities such as Philippi and Thessalonica. And Paul is going to share about the way God has been at work in the life of these churches. He says this, he says, "In the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity." You know, we tend to think that our ability to give, our ability to be generous, is contingent upon our financial situation, that we need perfect financial conditions in order for us to give. We think, you know, once I get that raise at work, then I'll give. Or once inflation comes back down, then I'll give. Once we're out of debt, then we can be generous. But the problem with that kind of thinking is that there will never be perfect conditions for generosity. Like, something is always going to pop up. There's always going to be a reason to not be generous. And so if we're waiting for the perfect time or the perfect conditions, it's simply not going to happen. Because whenever we do experience financial margin in our life, whether we get a raise at work or we pay something off, we tend to fill that gap, we fill that margin with more and more consumption. Like, we get a raise at work, well, let's go get a new vehicle. Or, hey, we paid off that credit card, let's go get some new furniture. Which is why a lack of generosity is not so much a financial problem as it is a greed problem. Now, most people don't think that they struggle with greed. In fact, I've been a pastor for 11 years now, and I've never once had someone admit to me that they are greedy. Because it's not one of those things that we typically want to own up to. In fact, there's a list of things that we will admit to before saying that we're greedy. But I think far more people fall into this trap of greed than we realize. You know, we tend to associate greed with an amount. We measure greed by the size of someone's income. We measure greed by the size of someone's bank account, by how many possessions that they have, by how big their house is, which is why we tend to think that only wealthy people are greedy. But it's important for us to understand that greed doesn't discriminate. Whether you have a large income or a modest income, whether you're a CEO or you're working your first part-time job, you can fall into the trap of greed, which is why more money and more financial margin doesn't equal more generosity. Because the reality is that if we aren't generous when we have little, we won't magically become generous when we have plenty. Because generosity is less about our finances, and it's much more about the condition of our heart. Notice what Paul says about the believers who were living in Macedonia. He says, "In the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity." These believers in Macedonia were facing incredibly difficult hardships in their life. They were facing persecution for their faith. They were facing and dealing with extreme poverty. But their joy in life was not tied to their external circumstances. Instead, they had learned to be joyful and to be content in all circumstances. This is exactly what Paul talks about in Philippians chapter 4, where he says, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. You see, for the Macedonians, their joy was not found in their savings account or in their income. Their joy was not found in the comfort or the ease of life. Their joy was found in their faith and trust in Christ. And because of this, they were able to be generous, whether they had little or they had much. Their overflowing joy had welled up in rich generosity. And so what Paul is helping us to see is that generosity isn't about an amount, it's about the posture of our heart. It's about being open-handed with what God has given us. And so the question I would love to leave you with today is this: has generosity crept its way into my life? Has generosity crept its way? Has it found its way into my life, maybe without me even being aware? And so I'd love to take a moment to pray for you right now, to pray for us, and then give you an opportunity to pray as well. And so God, we thank you just for the incredible picture and example of generosity that we find here in Scripture, of these believers who were dealing with incredibly difficult circumstances, living in extreme poverty, yet their overflowing joy produced a heart and posture of generosity. And so God, we ask for the same thing in our life. Whether we have little or we have a lot right now, whether we have no margin or we have plenty of margin, God, that our joy that we experience because of our relationship with you would overflow in generosity towards those around us and generosity towards helping to advance your kingdom and your mission in our world. Thank you, God, for your love. Thank you for your grace. And we pray all of this in the name of your son, Jesus. Amen.